Certainly we ought to be thankful that God has given us another day, given us another evening where we can come to near the close of this day and once again honor Him, praise Him, adore Him, glorify Him, and be reminded of His love and care for us so that we might be further fortified to go forward and face the challenges that we're going to face in the course of this week. Again, it is my honor and my blessing to come and to be with you today, and we hope, trust, and pray that in some way or another that we have said something, done something that is going to fulfill the purpose for which we were invited, but also that will inspire each and every one to be concerned about the souls of men and do what part God may have for us in participating in that. I'm glad to have, again, members of my family, my wonderful, beautiful wife of 45 years. We have been together a long time. I put up with a lot of stuff, but I've kept her anyway. Amen. Plus, the sisters in the house, y'all know the truth, don't you? Y'all know the truth. But God has blessed us, and if there was ever an ideal minister's wife, certainly she is it. And then my sister-in-law, you know, well, I do have a P name for her. It's Precious. So we could get that in. 99 9/10% of the time, it's Precious. And there's another one, 1/10 of the time, but that's all I'm going to say about that. And then my mother, who has always been a blessing, of course, to my life. When people ask me, well, where did you go to school? Well, sometimes my response is, I went to the Pearline Hayes School of Preaching, because when I was a young man, it was my mother that encouraged me to carry the gospel. One of the first scriptures she made me memorize was 2 Timothy 4:1-8. As a young boy, we would have church at the house, and we had a blue, light blue, powder blue clothes hamper, and that would be my pulpit, and she'd be my church. And I'd practice preaching, and she'd sit there, but she'd say, put some gravy in it, put some gravy in it. And so it's good to have her to come and to be with us and drag her out of St. Louis. We had to go up, sedate her, put her in the trunk of the car, and let her wake up in Jackson. But it worked, and we're glad that she's here. So continue to pray for her, continue to pray for us, as we will be in prayer for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We won't hold you as long as we did this morning. I like what Brother Evans says. He says, I'm going to tell you like Elizabeth Taylor said to each one of her husbands, I am not going to keep you long. Of course, Brother Evans would say that his long and amen and how long was two different things. But abide with us for just a few minutes here on tonight as we springboard from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, concentrating on verse 57 and 58, reading from the New King James. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So from this passage tonight, we want to talk about a decree for our participation. This morning, as we see reminded, that we talked about a definition of our purpose, and we springboarded from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1-4, and we saw that we're involved in an old purpose and in a plan that was established by God before the foundation of the world. God's plan was that His people, His church, be involved in the process of bringing the lost into the body of Christ, of building up those who are saved, who are in Christ, to the point that they will be a benefit to the work of Christ. Now, I want to encourage us to participate in that purpose. Why? Because God has decreed it. God, by His word, demands that we participate in His purpose. I'm saying tonight that we cannot rightly be a part of the body if we're not involved in the life of the body. We can't rightly be a child of God if we're not involved in the goals of the family of God. We can't rightly be a member of the churches of Christ if we're not involved in furthering the cause of Christ. God desires. No, God demands. God has decreed that we all take part in accomplishing His purpose, which according to Ephesians 3, verses 8 through 11, is that all men should hear of the unsearchable riches of Christ, and that all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, and that mystery is that all would be one in Christ Jesus. Here in our text of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is one of the many places where God has decreed, as we'll see, that we participate in His purpose. Paul tells us, without any apology, Paul tells us without any hesitation that we must participate in the work of the Lord. That phrase, work of the Lord, to me it says something. It speaks volumes. It tells me that we have a work to do which is a special work. We have a work to do that is a spiritual work. We have a work to do that is a supreme work. No other work has a higher calling than the work of the Lord. No other work has a higher purpose than the work of the Lord. No other work has a higher outcome or a higher reward than the work of the Lord. A lawyer does a great work by saving men from jail. But the work of the Lord is greater because it saves men from hell. A doctor does a great work by operating on men's health. But the work of the Lord is greater because it operates on men's hearts. A banker does a great work in helping men make money. But the work of the Lord is greater in that it leads to treasures in heaven that will never fade away. A teacher does a great work by building men and women academically, but the work of the Lord is greater, for it builds men spiritually. Newscasters, they do a great work by informing us of current events, but the work of the Lord is greater in that it broadcasts the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. All kinds of people do all kinds of things for which they are recognized and they are rewarded for the good that they do, but nobody can do a greater work, a higher work, a more valuable work, a more blessed work, a more important work, or a more rewarding work than the work of the Lord. It's a special work. It's a spiritual work. It's a supreme work. When Paul spoke of the work of the Lord, it had a connection with the preaching and the promise of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul speaks in verse 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians 15 of how he had labored. He said, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they are. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." Notice, Paul tells us he labored, and he tells us why he labored. Not because God made him, not because he feared punishment, not because somebody forced him to or dragged him into it. He labored out of appreciation for God's grace that was upon him. He said the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That was the purpose of God, the mystery that was revealed, and that they might be partakers of His promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became minister according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me by the effective working of his power. To me, who am less than the least of all saints, was this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and make all men see the fellowship of this mystery. We also need to recognize the goodness of God's grace. And I'm saying that when we do, that should motivate us to be passionate and zealous about the work of the Lord. When we understand it was grace that freed us from captivity. It was grace that cleansed us and made us whole. It was grace that lifted us from the muck and mire of sin, that called us out of darkness into the light, that gave us the privilege of being a child of God, that put our name in the book of life, that gave us the hope of a mansion, robe, and crown. It was grace that brought us the blessings that we enjoy every day. It is only by grace that we can say like Paul, I am what I am. And therefore, if we don't abound in the work of the Lord, then we're saying by our actions that we don't really appreciate this marvelous and amazing grace of God Almighty. So Paul said, I labor. But labor doing what, Paul? Go back to verse number 1 of 1 Corinthians 15 and you'll find he labored sharing the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins. So he can say, as we've studied already, again over in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So I'm saying to us tonight, we must labor in sharing the gospel. For only through obeying the gospel can men be saved. Only through obeying the gospel can man be redeemed. Can he be reconciled to God? Can he have the forgiveness of his sin and have any hope of sharing in the glorious reward of heaven when the Lord comes back again? Only in his submission to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, in our text under consideration tonight, we hear God's decree for our participation in his great purpose. But look at it again, and let's be encouraged by four things tonight that I want to glean from these verses. As we participate in the work of the Lord, be encouraged by four don'ts that I'm going to glean from this text. Don't worry, don't waver, don't wait, and don't weary. First of all, don't worry. Why do you say that, Hayes? Because of the word therefore. This word, as we know, looks back to what has just been said in the text, and then it gives us a reason to go forward. You and I can participate in the work of the Lord because we don't have to worry about the things that will keep us from doing God's work. For no matter what you face in this life, verse 57 assures us of something. It assures us that we have victory. Verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that after he says that, he says, therefore, because of what I just said to you, because of what I've talked about, this ought to be your response moving forward. For instance, what if you got word that a burglary ring, which had already burglarized several homes in your neighborhood, had targeted your house as the one they were going to hit next? I don't know about you, I would be somewhat worried. So worried, maybe you would take time off from work to guard your house. Even if you went back to work, Maybe you would run home on every break and at lunchtime to check on your belongings. Your worry might also keep you from doing your best job at work, because especially with some jobs, you need to be focusing on what you were doing rather than what's going on at home, because you might lose some fingers or an arm if you did not. Your worry about that might keep you from focusing and doing your best job. But what if a security agency volunteered to guard your house day and night? They had armed guards, and they had guard dogs, and they assured you, we're going to be here, you go to work, we're going to be here to watch over your house. I think you would feel better knowing that armed men and armed and that attack dogs were on the job. Well, in like manner, there are cares of this life that keep us from participating in the work of the Lord. But these verses encourage us to go to work. Why? You have an assurance that the victory is yours. In Philippians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 7, let your moderation be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. What is he saying? God's on his job. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And watch this now. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Now that word keep there is a word that has to do with guarding. It has to do with protection. It has to do with having a soldier on post. God says, I will be on guard. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your cares on him. Why? He cares for you. So in essence, the Lord is saying, you go on to work. I've got you covered. You worry about your family problems? No. You go on to work. I've got you covered. You worry about troubles in your life? No. You go on to work. I've got you covered. You're worried about your job and supplying daily bread? You're worrying about the fact that you've got to suffer through some things? No. You go on to work. I'm going to be on guard. I've got you covered. You're worried about the temptations that you face? God says, no, I've got work for you to do. Don't you sweat that stuff. You go on to work because I have got you covered. And let me tell you something. If God's got you covered, if God's got your back, if God is the one that's guarding, you ain't got nothing to worry about. If you don't believe me, ask Daniel when he stepped into the lion's den. Those ferocious lions did nothing to harm him. Why? Because God had him covered. God was there to guard Daniel. My friends, through Christ, we have the victory. Victory over our enemies. Victory over our problems. Victory over our cares, our burdens, our poverty, our health issues, our weaknesses, victory over the devil and everything he can bring against us and everything he can try to pile on us. And even victory over death. For death, of course, is the subject of the text of 1 Corinthians 15. Death has no power over us. Death has no sting. The grave has no victory. So the Lord says, you go on to work. Don't you worry about a thing, because I've got you covered. In Christ, you have victory. So whatever it is that you have been worrying about that keeps you from doing the work of the Lord, leave it in the hands of God, and you go ahead and go to work. Secondly, I see in this text that we have assurance that we don't waver. He says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In fact, abounding in the work of the Lord helps us to be steadfast and unmovable. That word steadfast means seated. It means fixed. The word unmovable means firm and not shifting. God does not want us to be double-minded and shifting or tossed to and fro. He wants us to be steady. He wants us to be firm and fixed in our belief in a resurrected Christ. We must live with the assurance that our Jesus died, yes, but he did not stay dead. He was buried, yes, but he did not stay in the grave. We serve a risen, living, reigning Lord in Jesus Christ, and we must be firm in that belief, so firm that we really believe what is said in the scriptures. For instance, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 17, he says, "Fear not, I am the first, the last. I am he that lives and was dead, and behold, and alive forevermore." And guess what? I went down to death's house. I went down to Hades' house, and I came out with the keys. So I have the power. Notice he says, "Fear not." And that's what Paul was showing us in the text. He is dealing with an error that started among the saints about there being no resurrection from the dead. Verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 15, he said, if Christ is not preached, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Paul goes on to show that Christ is a risen Savior, and he's coming back again to completely destroy death. When he comes, the dead in Christ will be raised up incorruptible, and in the moment and the twinkling of an eye, they shall be changed, and this corruption will put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. And if we are firm in our belief of who Christ is, we also have to be firm in our worship and our service to him. If we really believe, then we must be faithful. We will be faithful to his church. If we really believe, whatever comes our way, we're going to stay on course. If we really believe, then we're going to give ourselves to service. If we really believe, every ministry that's out there on your ministry affair will have more than enough to be involved. Why? Because we really believe in who Christ is. If we really believe, we're going to fight the good fight of faith. We're going to be sincere about his worship and hungry for his word and enthusiastic in his praise and dedicated to his service and loving toward his saints and abiding regarding his doctrine. We're going to be going with regard to the spread of the gospel, and we're going to be willing to always abound in the work of the Lord, because we are serving the risen Lord in Jesus Christ. So don't waver. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. And you know what? If you decide, even from this day, that you're going to step out the boat, that you're going to keep your eyes open for the eunuch, that you're going to make yourself available as a filler, along the way, yes, you're going to run to some roadblocks. You're going to run to some difficulties, but don't let that stop you. Don't let that stop you. We must be steadfast. We must be unmovable. We must always be willing to abound in the work of the Lord, because like I told you this morning, there are eunuchs out there. There are seeking people that God is seeking to draw them in through the gospel of Christ, that they might be true worshipers and be pleasing and acceptable in his sight. As I was standing out this morning, as I shook hands, when I had a chance, I'd say to you as you pass by, look for that eunuch this week. 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 Because God will bless you to be that Philip in the life of somebody. And when we open ourselves up to be used by God, God, since he wants us to go to work, is going to give us an opportunity to work. Some of you are going to go out this week. Your eyes are going to be open to looking for that eunuch. And you're going to praise God for using you in whatever way God might use you to begin to influence that person for Jesus Christ. But don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Keep on going. Why? We've got the victory. How do I know? We have he who had the ultimate victory in dying for man's sins, being buried, and rising up from the grave with all power in heaven and in earth in his hands. Then thirdly, what I see here is don't wait. He says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding is from a word which means to exceed or go beyond measure. For instance, if I had a glass and a pitcher up here and I begin to pour the glass into that pitcher, eventually the glass would become full. But if I kept on pouring, you know that that glass would overflow eventually. That is abounding. That's how we ought to be toward the work of the Lord, that we are overflowing. We are always abounding. Always means at all times. It means now, and it means days from now. It means that we don't wait until our calendar is empty. We don't wait till all of our other business is taken care of. We don't wait to do everything that needs to get done first. It means that instead of putting off the work of the Lord to do other things, we put off other things to do the work of the Lord. Now, that was your chance to shout. But since you didn't, I'm going to say it one more time. It means that instead of putting off the work of the Lord to do other things, we put off other things to do the work of the Lord. We've got to remember that when it comes to God, there are no exceptions and there are no excuses. We are full of excuses. The dog ate my homework. I had a flat tire. I got so much. We are full of excuses. But I'm still looking for that one time in the whole Bible where God accepted an excuse. You know, Moses had a lot of, you're talking about a master of excuses. You know, Moses, man, he ran them down. And just one after the other. Every time God would give him a resolution, he'd have enough. I mean, he had it together as far as excuses is concerned. But the bottom line is there was no accepting him from the work that God wanted him to do, and God did not accept any of his excuses. Because even if it might have been valid, it didn't make any difference because God has the power. Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. Well, let me ask you a question, Moses. Who made your mouth? If I gave you a mouth and I want you to speak, I have the power to use your mouth to speak my will. No exceptions and no excuses. The work of the Lord comes first. In Luke 9:59, Jesus said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "First let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But you go and preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God." And another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go bid farewell to my house." But Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Notice everybody, that each one of those had something to do first that would have put following Jesus and doing his work off to later. And you know, sometimes what the devil does is gets us so involved in what we need to do first, that what we need to do first, what we think we need to do first, calls for more and more energy, it calls for more and more time, it calls for more and more this, it calls for more and more of that, and then we never get back to where we intended to be in doing the will of God. What about you? Why haven't you gotten involved? How many times have you passed by that ministry table and you're not involved in ministry somewhere? Yes, we have those individual things. If you remember that chart in Sunday school this morning, we have things that is I and me, but we also have things that are we and us in the body of Jesus Christ. And I don't want you to feel guilty. I just want you to repent. That's the way you get rid of the guilt, is just repent. Because God can and God does want to use us. Why haven't you volunteered? What's your reason? Well, God is not going to accept it anyway. Stop waiting. There will never be a better time. Your calendar will never be empty. There is always work to do today. And usually waiting ends up waiting too late. So we ought not worry. We ought not waver. We ought not wait. And then finally, don't weary. Why? You're going to get paid. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There are many things that we can do in this life that will turn out for absolutely nothing. But we can be assured that what we do for the Lord is going to pay off in the great dividends of life now and life to come. But when we work for the Lord, we're laying up treasures in heaven. And we don't have to worry about our reward. Matthew 6 and verse 19. Don't lay for yourselves up treasures on earth, where moth and rust can destroy, and thieves can break through and steal. Even as described earlier, with all the guards and the guard dogs, there are still some that are pretty slick that can get past the guard dogs and the guard and still steal your stuff. And then sometimes you go home and it's the guards that have stolen your stuff. But my friends, you have to understand that there are things in life that, and then none of them are secure, but there is something that is secure. He says, lay for yourselves up treasure in heaven where moth and rust cannot corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. When John wrote to the book of Revelation to the seven congregations of the Lord's church in Asia, he assured them that nothing the world would do to them would take away their reward if they just remain steadfast. He assures them that the Lord is going to reward them richly. The Lord is going to reward them abundantly. The Lord is going to reward them greatly. The Lord is going to reward them marvelously. The Lord is going to reward them beyond measure because of His grace. Don't worry. You're going to get paid. When He wrote to Ephesus, He told them to be faithful. I got a reward for you, that you'll eat of the tree of life in the paradise of God. He told Smyrna, be faithful, and I give you a crown of life and assure that you're not hurt of the second death. He told Pergamos, be faithful. You overcome and you're going to eat of that hidden manna. He told Thyatira, be faithful. You'll overcome and you'll be given power over the nations and the morning star. He told Sardis, be faithful and you'll be clothed in white garments and I won't blot your name out of the book of life. He told Philadelphia, be faithful because I'm going to make you a pillar in the temple of God. And he told Laodicea, be faithful and I'm going to grant you to sit with me in my throne. So God says that we are not weary. We ought to hold on and work for him all the way to the end. And so I say to you tonight, you ought to get to work. You ought to keep on working and don't worry about it. You're going to get paid. No matter what it is that comes your way, no matter what things may become obstacles in your path, no matter what there is along the way in the form of people, in the form of things, in the form of stuff and all of that, God says that I'm going to give you a reward. Some of you all probably go to jobs every day that you really wish you didn't have to go through. But what keeps you going? You go get paid. And you know you what? You made all the bills. Amen. So you sure not want to get paid. Hello. I'm glad I'm talking to folks that ain't got no bills. I need to talk with y'all. In fact, since you ain't got no bills, you got a little bit extra. Send a little bit of it my way. But the thing that keeps you going, you're going to get paid. Some of you are students in school. What keeps you going? Not that your parents threaten you because, hey, man, I'm paying all that tuition and this is what you're bringing home as far as grades is concerned. That's not the reason. Hello. One of these days, you're going to be looking to get paid. They're going to be looking for you to get paid so you can move out of their house and never come back again to live. It ain't gonna happen, parents. Studies show today that more young adult people come back home than ever before. And the sad to say that when the guys come back home, they is not doing as well as the girls are. The girls will come back home, and they'll go to school, they'll get a job, and they'll support themselves even they living at home. The boys eat popcorn watching ESPN. Don't let that be you, all right? Don't let that be you, all right? Don't let that be you, because you're going to have to take care of yourself one of these days. Either your parents are going to be called by the Lord to go home and you ain't going to have nothing. Hello? Or they going to get fed up, put you out, and say you got to go. I don't know where you're going, but you got to get away from here. What am I saying? Be faithful. Because the Lord's promise is true. To be able to reign with the Lord, me, to be able to reign with him in his throne, me, with my messed up self, me, with the problems that I have, me, with my weaknesses, me who are just a human being living in this world, one of these days, I'll be able to see for real that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. So, whatever it is that's kept you from the work of the Lord, don't worry. Don't waver. Right? Don't weary. And for God's sake, don't worry. Because there are those that are out there that are outside of Christ. God will reward us richly. And we believe in that promise. What about you today? Is it you that came because what God was doing was putting you in a place where you would get something that you really needed? Is it you that needs to say, that was me? I'm the one who is in no way involved in the life of the church except for coming to worship every now and then. I'm the one that God has given some gift. God has given some strength. God has given some wherewithal that I could serve, but I'm not sure. I'm the one that has lived my life with my eyes closed because I've been too afraid with my eyes closed to that opportunity that God would give me to be a witness for Jesus. Oh, I saw it, and I was so afraid. I wanted to, but I was so afraid. I kept my mouth closed. Or I didn't give that card, or I didn't give that invitation. I went away and did nothing. Is that you? What we need to do is repent. A change of mind that's going to lead to a change of ways. You've been riding in the boat too long. I don't care what the other 11 do. Maybe it's you that God wants to step out of the boat and walk on the water with him as far as being a participant more actively in this mission that we have. What good does it do? Come here, hopefully a good sermon, then go home and we do nothing with it. Is it you? And it may be that it is you. It may be that your response might not be publicly tonight, but the elders and ministers will see it. Because next time you come to worship, you show up with a visiting friend because you've invited someone to come. Or next time you come, you've done something during the course of the week that will influence somebody for the gospel of Christ. As I said, if you open your heart for God to bless you, to be able to be a blessing to that unit, God is going to give you that opportunity to do it. Or is it that your life is such that you can't speak up for Jesus anyway? I don't know how it is here, but there are, you know, sometimes as a minister, I'm out, people know that I'm a minister to East Jackson, and they'll say, do you know such and such? Is he a member over there at your church? And sometimes I want to say, yeah. Sometimes I say, yes, that's a good man. That's a good man. And you know what? We need more good people. And I invite you to come. Don't you be the person that the Lord, and the preacher says, yeah, because your life has not been in keeping with the will of God. I'm talking to us in the church tonight. Yes, if you're here and you're outside of Christ, then faith, repentance, and baptism, Acts 2:36 through 38, is where God will place you into Christ. Notice, he's the one that puts you in, not ourselves. He's the one to decide who's in, when we're in. Hello. We don't decide that ourselves. He has decided that through faith, repentance, and baptism for the remission of sins, that one is placed into Christ because he adds them to his body when he's cleansed them from all of their sins. That faith, repentance, and baptism is into Christ, and into Christ, the body of Christ, because the church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. As we accept Christ, we accept his body in the church. The same thing that places us into Christ, Romans 6, 3 and 4, places us into the body, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. And if you're here tonight and you need to respond to that, then we're inviting you. We're inviting you right now. As we stand and encourage you through the children's song, you are the side to come.